Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Guru Gone Bad. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
This is the divine feminine, that term, which of course every time I hear it, I slightly cringe because it's overused. So this is my kind of punk rock version of what I think that is, which is it's a multidimensional femme consciousness that's moving through planet Earth and all of its inhabitants. And if we so choose, it will awaken us to the next vibrational frequency.
What you just heard is the audio from a post on Guru Jagat's Instagram, a promotion for a 12-month intensive called 5D Femme, the yogic science of femme consciousness, through the Rama Institute in Venice, California. The post shows Guru Jagat's kind of edgy, in-your-face approach to her brand of healing, funneled through the Rama Institute, a Kundalini yoga studio with a controversial yet cult-like following that included Courtney Love, Gwyneth Paltrow, Alicia Keys, and Kate Hudson. But on August 1st, 2021, this, quote, thought leader of modern wellness died suddenly, leaving her motives and practice open to examination. Examination that would include a multitude of abuses and a secret mission. Today we're talking about the life and death of Guru Jagat. But before we talk about Guru Jagat by her yogi name or her birth name, Katie Griggs, we should talk about Kundalini yoga. For anyone who's done it, I have not. Kundalini is described as a combo of breathwork, slow yoga poses, chanting, and conscientious health choices, like eating vegetarian and meditating. But despite taking a lot of its tenets from bhakti, raja, and shakti yogas, ancient traditions, Kundalini yoga was made up by a guy named Hari Bhanjan Singh Kala, or Yogi Bhanjan, in 1968. Pakistani-born Bhanjan fled to India, where he worked for the Indian Revenue Service and the New Delhi Customs. During his final years in India, he became deeply interested in yoga and started teaching it himself. In 1968, Bhanjan moved to Toronto with a glowing blessing from the British High Commissioner to India, James George, a former student. In 3 months, his power over the Western yoga market grew exponentially, as did his celebrity. It was in Toronto where he became a true yogi, a guru, some might say. A year later, Bhanjan created the Healthy, Happy, Holy organization in Los Angeles, California. He realized that a particular type of person gravitated towards his lofty, new-age yogi tenets of long hair, vegetarianism, tunics, and deep stretches. Hippies. White hippies, mostly. It was a time that Americans were desperate to help the world, to look towards the East to draw in some kind of meaning or inspiration. And they had money to do it. To serve his new and vibrant market, Bhanjan created the International Kundalini Yoga Teachers Association, dedicated to setting standards for his disciples and teachings. In 1994, the Happy Holy organization even began consulting for the United Nations, advising the UN on how to best approach human rights, feminism, and alternative living. By 2000, Bhanjan's Kundalini empire became a multi-million dollar cash cow that included, according to Vanity Fair, a private security firm, one still contracted to do work by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the still hugely prevalent and extremely popular Yogi Tea brand. But there was trouble in Kundalini paradise. For years, Bhanjan had been repeatedly accused of rape, sexual misconduct, abuse, and financial manipulation, both before and after his death in 2004. Still, it was all pretty under the radar and didn't impact Bhanjan's thousands of followers all over the world in a macro sense. That is, until January 8th, 2020, when his former employee and victim, Pamela Dyson, self-published a memoir entitled Premka, White Bird in a Golden Cage, My Life with Yogi Bhanjan. The book blew Kundalini yoga up, and not in a good way, painstakingly describing Dyson's decades of abuse and observation of other horrific criminal activities at the hands of the married guru and father of three. Dyson's book shouldn't have been a huge surprise publicly, as Bhanjan had condoned rape in the past. In a 1978 lecture, Budgen argued that victims should not be blamed for their own rape. Rape is always invited, he said. Quote, a person who is raped is always providing subconsciously the environments and the arrangements. A report conducted by an independent third party, including interviews with hundreds of witnesses and victims, found that the abuse at the hands of Budgen, quote, more likely than not occurred. In researching this podcast, I read many accounts of Budgen's abuses, and if you want to go down the wormhole yourself, you can check out the Instagram account Rama Wrong, or more generally, the very good and hard-to-watch documentary Bikram on Netflix to see some very similar, upsetting behavior by another leader in the yoga and wellness community. In 2020 is when Guru Jagat really comes into play. Guru Jagat was born Katie Griggs in 1979, the daughter of a single farmer in Fort Collins, Colorado. Katie was brought up in Colorado New Age teachings, and from a young age was always toying with her own identity, having her family call her Athena and her teenage boyfriend Zeus, for example. She loved performing with dreams of being an actor or poet or musician. In an interview, Guru Jagat's mother said, quote, she was always trying to find herself, I guess. In her early 20s, she dropped out of school for excess partying, but eventually got a degree from Antioch College in Ohio. After moving to LA, she began using the names Katie Day and, early on in her Kundalini career, Kundalini Katie. Kundalini Katie thrived with her new purpose. She exercised, stopped drinking, and felt like she had a community around her. Apparently, when someone had been practicing Kundalini long enough, they are encouraged to spend $40 to certify their stake on a spiritual name, a mashup of Punjabi names and religious terms, through the Healthy Happy Holy Organizations, Budgen's company. Guru Jagat said she received her name, quote, directly from Yogi Budgen right before he died. The title of guru, a word not used lightly in Eastern religions, had been given to Katie Griggs, who felt she was up to the task. After practicing for years after, in 2013, Guru Jagat opened the Rama Institute on Lincoln Boulevard in Venice, California, with some startup money from her family. Her clients were high profile, Alicia Keys, Kate Hudson, Demi Moore, and Laura Dern, to name a few. She opened another studio in Boulder, Colorado the year after, then in Majorca. The studios sold moon juice products, crystals, jewelry, Palo Santo, and sage, and of course, photos of Guru Jagat's own guru, Yogi Budgen. At the Venice location, the Rama stage at the front of the class was decorated with geodes, plants, and a 60-inch gong that Guru Jagat told students was originally made for Van Halen. The session would be a mashup of sleek millennial values and Jagat's yogic practice. A good example of this is a lot of rhetoric thrown around the studio. When Guru Jagat would say that lessons and epiphanies were, quote, downloads, and Kundalini was an ancient technology that could, quote, optimize your system. Then she would lead the class in a series of physical exercises that, according to Vice, Budgen designed as a, quote, way to get high without substances. Many would leave the class feeling euphoria or kind of out of body. The high is very addicting, said the musician Zolita, who joined the Rama community in 2015. I remember being warned by a teacher that it might not be safe to drive home after class because I was so out of it. Despite paying her staff below minimum wage, Guru Jagat's reach continued to grow. The Rama began a business school, a nonprofit foundation, and a feminist group called the Aquarian Women's Leadership Society. She started a music label called Rama Records and launched two clothing lines. Yes, two clothing lines that involved a lot of white robes and white people wearing turbans. According to a pitch deck created by Rama staff in December of 2019, Rama claimed to have 150,000 social media followers, 50,000 email subscribers, and 500,000 podcast streams. That year, they offered 300 events, 4 retreats, and a festival. Guru Jagat spoke at Harvard and Bonnaroo Music Festival with a robust lineup of speaking engagements and promotional opportunities. And of course, Guru Jagat had an Instagram account. And when Pamela Dyson's shocking memoir came out, Jagat used her online platform as an opportunity to support Budgen, her mentor. When addressing the book on her Instagram, Jagat said, quote, this tale is no truer than any other tale. The truth, as always, lies in the eye of the beholder. Not a good look. And on that note, let's take a break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hello.
We're checking in.
Hello.
This is it. You knew it was coming.
We're here.
Unless you never listened before.
We made it here.
And
in that case, welcome.
Welcome, yeah. And you're like, what is this part?
Yeah, you're like, it stopped.
This is where we give a little thank you
oh.
to all the people that are listening, supporting the show, spreading mm-hmm. the good,
good word. So good.
It's a good word.
It's a good word.
It's a good couple of words.
And this is where party time, we like to thank our government.
That's right. That's right.
Our mayors rocking a lotus pose. Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
Getting down with Downward Dog.
That's a good one.
Charlie Gilbert.
Hello.
And rocking a classic tree pose.
Ooh.
Kat Joselle.
Nice work.
Leading the poses, leading the class.
Whoa.
With no judgment.
Whoa.
Practically floating.
Oh, yeah.
Rocking a full vinyasa.
That's right.
Our governor, Avian Noble. So you want no ads, no chit-chat, bonus episodes, the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Little tip, if you go in, and then I think it's under like a, you know, the categorized either bonus episode or early access, click on that. You get, if you just want to go back and listen to a bunch of episodes, ones you haven't heard, you don't want to hear, and you got, you know what I mean, you don't have time. You got to zen out.
You got to zen out.
You got a rock garden.
Do it.
You got some essential oils.
Uh-huh. Exactly. You know, you can just lay down and pretend it's meditation.
Yeah.
Close your eyes.
Our voices are probably not the things that will take you there.
No, probably not. But, you know, we're all doing our best.
Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
That's right. The part that no one waited for.
Yep. But you got it anyway.
You got it. There you go. All right. Well, let's head back to Venice, California, where Guru Jagat's online promotion of her mentor, Yogi Bhajan, is triggering a backlash that inspired the Instagram account that I mentioned earlier. Ramarong is run by Becky Lovell and Nicole Norton, Jagat's former personal assistants. And you'll notice I am saying a lot of names of people that sound very American. During my research, they appeared to be white. I don't want to say that they are or not, but again, just think of this whole system, Kundalini Yoga, being supported by a lot of white people in the Los Angeles area. Despite Jagat viewing herself as a controversial rock and roll revolutionary, her actions in the account proved upsetting, abusive, and manipulative. She screams at people on WhatsApp about nearly everything, but especially making sure she gets her money and also that her social media, photos, and presence are exactly how she wanted it. In a company-wide group chat, Jagat wrote, "Fuck you all," for not drafting a promotional email as she'd wished, and threatened another group, quote, "I will wring your figurative necks if not every photo you've ever taken up until now isn't in the Dropbox." Guru Jagat wanted her following to be detached, dazed, and seduced by her teachings, vulnerable to emotional, intellectual, and financial manipulation. Some might say, cult-like behavior. For example, she'd regularly warn students in her spiritual lectures, particularly in lectures that took place near family-oriented holidays, that spending more than 72 hours with their families will cause them to spiritually regress. Quote, "It's a culture of fear-mongering," said Charlotte Medlock, who worked as Rama's director of marketing from 2016 to 2020. Quote, "Even after I quit, I practiced every day because I was afraid to stop. I was told that if I did, all of my progress would be erased." And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Guru Jagat's platforms got even more fucking nuts during COVID. Airing conspiracy theories that COVID-19 was spread by chemtrails and that artificial intelligence was taking over, Jagat would interview fringe theorists like Arthur Furstenberg and David Icke, and regularly shared and pontificated on QAnon conspiracy theories, including, of course, Pizzagate. In 2021, more employees jumped ship and decided to speak out. Two former employees of Jagat accused her of running Rama Institute as a cult. Quote, "After January 6th, I saw how dangerous she was," a former employee who wished to remain anonymous said of Jagat's habit of promoting QAnon rhetoric. Staffers were appalled to see Jagat defend an employee who described Black Lives Matter protesters as cockroaches in a company-wide WhatsApp. As one employee said, quote, "It shook me to the core." But Guru Jagat was not alone. She led Rama with the help of someone she called her greatest living spiritual teacher, a white 70-something man by the name of Harijiwan. Harijiwan had long been tied to Kundalini and Bhajan, so much so that in 2000 he spent 18 months in a federal prison for his involvement in one of Bhajan's telemarketing schemes. Those who work with Guru Jagat or close to her claim that Jagat regularly consulted Harijiwan before making any business decisions, and that he held a special, elevated position in the company, despite working covertly behind the scenes. Quote, when Harijiwan was released from prison, he was a convicted felon in his 40s with no education or work experience. All he had were the lessons he learned as a scammer and Yogi Bhajan's cult, said Roni Korkos, who worked as a videographer for Rama from 2018 to 2020. According to Korkos, Guru Jagat was the ideal partner for Harijiwan to start Rama. Young, white, blonde, seemingly secular, and lip-syncs to rap videos online. Yes, she lip-synced to rap videos and then posted them online. There's a lot of this that is incredibly upsetting. Other employees of Rama corroborated this idea, that Harijiwan had been searching for a young, charismatic woman to be front to a new studio. He had enough awareness to know that he was an old, white man, and those optics would be bad for business. And of course, his record of being a convicted felon wouldn't help anything. His telemarketing scheme earned him widespread notoriety as, quote, the toner bandit, which also didn't help things. As in, he was the bandit of printer toner. He stole a lot of printer toner. It's all very fucking weird. But the partnership, or really the brand, of Guru Jagat was huge until 2020 and even into 2021. But mid-2021, things started falling apart. On August 1st, 2021, at the age of 41, Guru Jagat died of a cardiac arrest caused by a pulmonary embolism following a surgery on her ankle. I've gathered that she had the surgery and got on a plane, which put a lot of strain on her heart. Again, that's something that I talked to a couple people about. Not something that was widely publicized or written about via journalists. It's kind of off the record. It was overall, you know, whatever specifically happened, a strange and sudden death that shook the Kundalini community and left her dissenters dazed and confused. We will be forever changed by the legacy she created. Rama Institute will continue to move forward with her vision, the Rama Institute said in a post on Instagram. At her funeral in Hollywood Forever Cemetery, we've done a couple episodes on that, really interesting place, Harijiwan, her living mentor, gave a eulogy, of course. He said that Katie would return one day in the future as a little girl attending Rama University, Jagat's name for an educational center she had been in the works creating. Her death elevated her to a kind of saint, a martyr for the fringe wellness ideals she and Harijiwan capitalized on. Regular classes and workshops at Rama resumed almost immediately following Jagat's death. On August 8th, a week after her death, Rama promoted an event called Lion's Roar in Jagat's honor. It cost $88 to $99. Soon afterwards, Rama began promoting tickets to Camp Grace, a women's camp devoted to deterritorializing the patriarchy led by Harijiwan. On August 30th, what would have been Jagat's 42nd birthday, Rama Records released a remix of a song, Truth, and a series of limited edition prints for $175 each. The Kundalini-fed Rama machine is still running with Harijiwan at the wheel. But what happens within this controversial organization, their continued existence or failure, or hey, even the reincarnation of Guru Jagat, is anyone's guess.
We've heard this story before.
Yes, yes.
It's the same old story. I'd like to believe that there was a point before the money and fame and attention and just that feeling of just being power hungry. The trappings of all the things that I believe people will maybe go to a yoga class or some spiritual retreat to get away from.
Yeah.
And this leader is being fed by those things that a lot of people are getting away from.
Mm-hmm.
And in Los Angeles has always been a hotbed for cults and groups and things that did not turn out very well.
Truly, truly.
Especially in Venice.
Yeah.
Perfect place.
Exactly. This picturesque, very affluent area of Los Angeles where a lot of clientele that would have gone to this type of yoga studio thrived, told their friends. And of course, you know, the pandemic exacerbated a lot of these ideologies and pushed everyone kind of to different places. We did an episode on Pastel QAnon a while back. Like you said, is nothing new. Like we've done so many episodes about people who act this way and organizations who take advantage of a specific cross section of people and a time and a place kind of fuel that. It's really, I want to say it's like upsetting, but it's just frustrating that again, it's over and over and over.
This is one of, I think, a few episodes because a lot of the time we'll bring episodes or mostly you're bringing episodes, but they're surprises to both of us. And
This is one of the few, I think, where we message each other and it's this. I was like, I think a great idea. I mean, this is a great idea for an episode. And you're like, mm-hmm. I'm already on it.
Oh, yeah.
But the other way.
There's a Vanity Fair article that came out and actually it got sold to a production company. And there's going to be a 4-part series about Guru Jagat, which will be very interesting. But I think it's so in our backyards and so prevalent and such a powerful thing that feels harmless, like intrinsically in the beginning, this idea of wellness and, you know, exercise.
The idea of yoga is, you know, people talk about yoga, it's passive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not, you're not going to get strong-armed at yoga.
Yeah, no, you won't be out $800 at yoga.
Whether some religion or anything that is meant to be like, oh, this is healing and helpful. It's the opposite of the sharp edges of the world or of people, but mm-hmm. that's what draws people in and that's what gets them is this kind of – you're being bought and sold, but it's – the tones are very, very soft.
Yeah. It's almost worse. I'd almost – you just sell me some shit. Honestly, just be like, here it is. Here's a class for $250, and then I'm going to ask you to take another one after you're done with this one and hope you get something out of it. But really, I'm just trying to do business with you versus something where it's like this holistic, you know, universal, like the ideas of, you know, these like bullshit ideas. I'm not saying that it's bad in and of itself, but again, when
not to discredit people that are, you know, doing it and getting something out of it.
No, I agree. I just, I don't think
plenty of great
places
out there.
A lot. I don't think you should be working for nothing ever. First of all, as someone who did that for a very long time, not in the Kundalini community, but like, I don't think anyone should be exploiting the workforce and people who are well-intentioned and who want to be a part of a community of wellness and feeling good about themselves and clean living. It just becomes a shit show when you bring in people who abuse that. And again, check out the Instagram. It is honestly like really upsetting. There's so much on there, not even just about Guru Jagat, but about many people that were her higher ups that she worked with, Budgen, all those people. It's like, it's sickening.
If you've never gotten upset by looking at Instagram, let this be your first time.